enjoyed the message we've heard thus far. Ask your continued interest in your prayers as we stand before you. And I want to, Brother Thomas has laid a wonderful foundation and taught us a wonderful lesson. And I want to follow up with that, with the practical side of that. Ephesians 2 and 10 says that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works that he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Should we? Do we? Well, we try to, and we hope to, but that should be our desire. Why? Out of thanksgiving to God for what Jesus has done for us in saving us from our sins. And so, Philippians chapter 2 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so, as we work out that timely salvation, because of who we are and what God has done for us, then that's where we want to manifest this desire that we would sanctify our lives in response to what God has blessed us with. And I want to use Ephesians chapter 4 for our basis of our lesson this morning. And I don't have time to do a whole chapter. But Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Okay? So like Elder Thomas said, this is for the called. Those who are called by his grace, those who are called to follow him, those are the ones who have the ability, because we have the Spirit working in us, to be able to respond to him in a way that would be pleasing in his sight. Now, Paul says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. You know, Paul was a prisoner in Rome when he wrote the epistle to the Ephesians. But Paul didn't say, I, therefore, the prisoner of Rome. He said, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. That Roman imprisonment was temporary, and it was him being a prisoner of the Lord, God had called him to preach the gospel. And and elsewhere in the scriptures it talks about how that though he was bound, the word of God was not bound. God blessed Paul to minister to God's people even while he was a prisoner in Rome. And what a blessing that this epistle is. And there's a lot of practical admonition, a lot of teaching here. You know, about the first three chapters of Ephesians lays down the doctrine, the eternal things. And then we have the practical lessons in the latter part of this book. And I want to notice some of the lessons that we find. Of course, I read you verse 1. I'm going to drop down to verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Okay? So, Paul says that we should henceforth walk not as other Gentiles. All right? If God called you out of darkness, bless your hearts, and we're to walk in the light. We're to show forth his praises. And by the way, I want to notice that in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 9, and this is says much about what Brother Thomas has been speaking to us about this morning. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he says, but ye are a chosen generation. God did that for us. A royal priesthood, God did that for us. And holy nation, God did that for us. A peculiar people, God did that. That ye should. Notice what he's about to say here. That ye should show forth the praises of him that who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. How is it that we show forth those praises? We think of praises as words from our lips. But God sees it as the things we do, as decisions that we make, choices, works that we do. The things that we do that please God in response to what he's working in us as both the will and to do of his good pleasure, when we respond to the leadership of the Spirit and when we do those things that are pleasing unto God, that's what shows forth his praises, because that's when the light is shining forth from us. It's not just the words. It's much more than that, isn't it? Our choices and our footsteps and our actions and all of those kinds of things speak far more loudly and brightly than just the words that we say. And so we're to show forth his praises in the things that we do. And much of what we do is following a decision that has been made. And so in the latter part of this chapter, there's a lot of practical lessons here. And we're just going to have to say some of it for another time, but I want to concentrate from verses 29 through 32. And I want you to notice in this how much our words have to do with this. In this, just a few more verses after where I quit reading just now, he talks about putting off the old man and putting on the new. Okay? I'll go back and get some of that. So he told us not to walk as other Gentiles walk. He says in verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Notice he's going to tell us about putting off the old man and putting on the new. Now, when I got up to come into the pulpit just now, I put on this coat. And that's easy to think about, isn't it? When we take something off and put something on. But this is a spiritual exercise. This is our thought life. This, we put off the old man intentionally by thinking about the Lord and his goodness and mercy, remembering what we are by nature and our need of the Lord to help us to make the right decisions and to do the right things as we go through life. So when we realize what we are by nature and we put that off, then we put it on by remembering who Jesus is. What Jesus, you know, there used to be an expression that we heard a lot. What would Jesus do? I like that. That's something we need to remember a lot. What would Jesus do? That'll help us a lot in the decisions that we make as we go through life each day. So in putting on, he says, and being renewed, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This old carnal nature, we need to remember that we need the Lord's help. We need the leadership of his Spirit. We need his word to guide us. We need his help each day. So be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which, by the way, until you're renewed in the spirit of your mind, you can't put him on, right? Put on the new man, which after God, that is like him, all right? Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Isn't that what God is? Righteousness and true holiness. We've already heard that this morning. We know how he is. He is holy, holy, holy. That's who he is. Well, we need to try to follow that. We're thankful for what we have, what God has given to us. But we need to put on this new man to remember the things that we're being taught, to remember the word of God and to ask for his help so that we can live in a way that shows forth his praises. Okay? All right, and he goes through some other things, but I want to drop down, like I said, to verse 29. And again, three verses here that have a lot to say about the kind of words we use. And they're going to talk about what we need to do in the way of putting off the old man. You know, words are powerful. Words reflect what's in the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, Jesus said, the mouth speaketh. So it's not just the words, it's what's coming from the heart. So when you see and hear the words, you get an idea of what's coming from the heart. Okay? Now, there could be deceptive words, but I'm just saying, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. All right? So when he says in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. You know, when we're this corrupt communication, that just tends to tear down. That's negative. That's corrupt communication is things that are not profitable. He says, but that which is good to the use of edifying. We ought to be trying to build up one another. We ought to be trying to have a positive influence in the kingdom of God. And that's what lets our light shine. That's what shows forth his praises. When we're having a positive impact in the kingdom, when we're doing that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God that he's manifested to you? You know what? You didn't deserve it. That's what grace is all about. What we don't deserve. All right? So, when we minister grace, there may be somebody that's having a bad day and they may say things that are unkind toward us. But if you'll turn it back to them with soft words, amen, with kind words, amen, with love coming out of your heart and coming out of your mouth, so that you can, speak that which is good so that we can edify. That's what we need to be doing, right? Building one another up instead of tearing down, all right? So, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Now, Brother Thomas mentioned how that Jesus, being holy, came to this earth and dwelt among men 33 and a half years and was constantly being confronted with sinful men. That is a miracle, isn't it? Amazing. But listen to what he says here. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. What is it that grieves the Holy Spirit? Is it not ungodliness? Is it not that which doesn't edify? Is it not that which doesn't bring glory to God? And it doesn't have to just necessarily be evil. It could be having your affection set upon things on the earth and taking all your time and all your energy and all of your affections on those things instead of showing love to God. So whatever it might be, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. All right? He says, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. We're going to have that Spirit with us. All right? But he says, verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Let's take a minute with that. Here's how you put off the old man. And you have to put off the old man before you can put on the new, right? And I'm afraid so many times we try to put on the new without taking off the old. You can't serve two masters. I believe I read that somewhere. Have you? It doesn't work. Maybe that's why our fruits are not brought to perfection. We're not sufficiently putting off the old so that we can put on the new and show forth his praises. Right? All right? So he says, let all bitterness, you know, those harsh feelings and words that we might express to others, put that off. See, he's talking about putting off the old man, putting on the, but these several verses here, these three verses go into a lot of detail about just how it is that we can put off the old man. You know, it's one thing to say put off the old man. Well, how do we do that? What does that look like? What does it sound like? Can I do that? Well, here's what part of what you need. There's other verses ahead of this that would help be more aspects of it. But here's what I want to focus on this morning. Let all bitterness. This is part of what we need to put off. If you happen to realize that you're speaking with bitterness, you need to stop. You need to check your heart. You need to check why you're doing that. There's something that's triggered it. Think about it. This is part of what the Lord tells us to put off. This is part of the old man. You know, Jesus didn't go around with bitterness, did he? Now, he called sin, sin. You know, he spoke truth. But not this kind of bitterness. Sometimes if somebody hurts us, sometimes if things have not been what you thought it was, that bitterness can be there. It's like in Hebrews talks about a root of bitterness. It's something that can be there and it can fester. And we need to be careful to recognize it and ask the Lord to help us to deal with it so we can put it off, so that we're not speaking with bitterness. What else did he say? And wrath. You know, that's when anger has taken another level. Wrath. And we don't want that in our lives. Again, you know, earlier in this chapter, let's see, back in verse 26, he says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, deal with it. If the Word of God tells us to deal with it, then it's possible for us to do. It's a matter of obedience. And I'll tell you something, you'll feel a whole lot better if you'll obey that scripture. Deal with it. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. He's saying, keep it short. Check yourself. Check your heart. Understand what's happening here. You know, aren't you glad that God didn't wait for us to clean up our act before he had mercy and forgave us? Well, when we get to the end of this chapter, he's going to say, well, now, because he's done that, that's why we're supposed to do all of these things. Right? All right. Wrath and anger, he says. Anger. Again, you know, if it's there, we would do well to deal with it, to figure out what's going on, to figure out how we can resolve this. You know, you may not be able to change the circumstances, but you can change yourself. You can change how you're looking at it. You can change not carrying those things around with you. You know, and thinking about that, you know, sin's just a step away, isn't it? Sin lieth at the door. It's right there because we've got this old nature about us. We can focus on circumstances. We could focus on this old nature. We could, those kind of things could just take us over. We don't want to do that, do we? Remembering the goodness and mercy of our God so that we can show forth his praises instead of dwelling in these kinds of thoughts that would cause us to act in ways that would grieve the Holy Spirit. All right? He says clamor. You know, clamor is that loud, you know, when the anger accelerates or elevates to a point where it's loud and annoying and disturbing. Okay? What he's showing us here is a progression of the flesh. If you're not careful, if you don't check it, what it can develop into. That's not the direction we want to go. We want to go in a direction that's pleasing to the Lord. That's good for us. All right? So that's what he's going to get to in just a minute. So he says, clamor and evil speaking. Well, that's one that we have to be careful. You know, there's the principle of sowing and reaping. And when we talk about evil speaking, saying something evil about others, the scriptures have many places where it tells us that we're not to do that. All right? Let's see. Titus chapter 3. Let's see, here we get to Titus. Titus chapter 3. Let me begin reading the first part of it. He says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Let me emphasize, be ready to every good work. If we're grieving the Holy Spirit, we're not ready to every good work, are we? Okay? Be ready to every good work. Then verse 2 says, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. This is just another way the scriptures teach us this principle of not being, not speaking evil of others. Again, when you say something, you better be careful that it's accurate. Sometimes we have to accurately say what has happened or whatever. But you better be careful. You know, just a few words in the minds of others can destroy their reputation. If those words are not accurate, if they're just heightened feelings and not accurate, then look what you've done in the minds of others. And this principle of sowing and reaping, you know, it's going to come back on you. So, not to speak evil of anyone, all right? So he says, be evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Malice is that inclination to take those feelings and just impose that on the situation. And it fuels other thoughts. It fuels other actions. It causes you to just continue down that road. But that's not the road we want to go. If we're following the Lord, we don't want to go that way. So we need to put those things off. And you have to decide to do that. You have to be intentional on doing that. Because this old flesh would take advantage of circumstances and situations and cause you to act that way. So these are some of the things that we need to put off in putting off the old man. Now, we got another verse here that speaks of how we can put on the new. And that's where we need to, you know, we need to be careful to put off the old, but we also need to be diligent to put on the new. And so here's how we put on the new. He says, be ye kind one to another. Kindness. You know, when we think about kindness, think about all of the good that has been blocked when someone has been unkind. You know, for someone to be unkind, I can't think of good coming out of that. You just block the good. You know, maybe you're having a bad day. Those things happen, don't they? All right? But if you're having a bad day and all of a sudden you meet a total stranger and something you say is not kind, what have you done in the mind of that stranger? You know, you only have one chance to make a, you only have one opportunity to make a good first impression. If your unkindness is all they ever see about you, you have failed as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have failed in being the kind of person that has put on the new man and is trying to be edifying toward others. Now, I'm afraid we take that lightly, but it's not a light thing. So be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. I am so thankful for the tender-hearted people in my life. Aren't you? I mean, hasn't it just added so much joy to your life? Well, what can you say about the unkindness that you've encountered? We could do without that, can't we? I don't even want to think about that. I don't want to remember that. You see the difference? Putting on the new man, being kind one to another, tender-hearted. Then he says, forgiving. Oh, preacher, why'd you have to get on that? Forgiving one another. Because if you don't, you're not going to be very successful in uprooting the bitterness and doing away with the unkindness. It's necessary. We're so thankful that we've been forgiven by God, by when he sent his son to this world to save us from our sins, the forgiveness that we have through his blood. What a blessing that is. Now let's follow that kind of love and be that way ourselves, forgiving one another. All right? He says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God. Here's the one who's holy and absolutely righteous. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. The basis of our forgiveness is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, having shed his precious blood, as we heard earlier, to redeem us from our sins. The basis of God's forgiveness of us lies in that, not in who you are, not in your goodness, but for Christ's sake. And for that very same reason, we can be forgiving of others. Now, forgiveness is a powerful subject in God's word. When the Lord Jesus gave us the model prayer, there was only one thing that he commented on about that prayer after he gave it. For if we forgive not those that trespass against, neither will our Father. And he's talking about in the practical sense, neither will our Father forgive us. That's powerful. How many times have we ignored that subject altogether and think we can just do fine without it? But it's powerful. So to put on the new man, we're to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God hath, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. This is a short message. I hope that you will take it with you when you go. I hope you will think about this. I hope that you will lay it to heart and think more and go back up an earlier part of this chapter and look at some of the other lessons that he told us about how it is that we can put off the old man and put on the new. as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is something that we need to give a lot of attention to, because it's where we'll not grieve the Holy Spirit, but show forth his praises for calling us out of darkness into his marvelous light. May God bless you is our prayer.